The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at Mercury.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and well, we're hoping today, very, very shortly, to have Mr. James Tucker on the line with us. And Mr. Tucker is a fascinating gentleman. He was for many, many years, a newspaper reporter. And then, he eventually retired from that. He went to work for the America Free Press, and they told him about an organization that really ruled most of the world. It was called the Bilderbergers. And Mr. Tucker had never heard of the Bilderbergers. How could that be? He thought, when I'm a reporter, I've been, certainly looking after all of these things for years, and suddenly they're telling me there's an organization called the Bilderbergers, and hardly anybody in America has ever heard of it. Well, let's have Mr. Tucker tell the story. James Tucker, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon.
It was my pleasure, and I'm sorry about last week when I was trapped on that bridge.
Well, that was an amazing story, and maybe it was just a coincidence. Under any circumstances, we're just tickled to have you with us today. And why don't you tell us how you got interested in the Bilderbergers?
Well, I spent 20 happy years with daily newspapers, the establishment press. I had, in the 50s, when I was a young stud, I was a sports writer covering the original Washington Senators baseball team, Redskins. Moved into the news end of it. I found myself editor of a small daily in Clifton, Georgia. Back to Richmond to serve as on their copy desk for the Washington Daily News to be their night editor. Daily News folded up in 72, and I found myself editor of a small daily in Martinsville, Virginia. Then assistant newsletter, whatever that meant, of the Akron Beacon Journal. Then back to Washington 75, and I'm being interviewed by Willis Cardo, who had founded Liberty Lobby, and was considering turning his newsletters into a weekly newspaper called The Spotlight. He said, "What do you think about Bilderberg?" I thought he was talking about Limburger cheese. I never heard of that. How could a guy been 20 happy years with mainstream media and such a powerful group exist without knowing about it? The Associated Press wires, United Press, smaller wires clacking all day, and these newspapers, the daily news was Scripps Hour newspaper, had news bureaus all over the country. That was back when a couple of generations ago, when people read, little children read books, and people read newspapers, there was a lot of newspapers. No, I said, that's not possible. So they gave me some material to examine. One of the great pieces of that material was in 1957 when the late great Lester Tegner first exposed Bilderberg. He did not know they called themselves Bilderberg. He had two lengthy columns called "The Reader Gave Him a Tip." He went down to Jekyll Island, Georgia, I think it was, and through spyglasses, News World Traveler, nationally syndicated, world known, and he could recognize all these people through his spyglasses. Heads of state, international financiers, Rockefellers, Rothschilds, going past all this heavy security, armed guards sealing off this big resort. He simply raised the question in two successive columns. What are these international power brokers doing?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. James Tucker, who is with the American Free Press. Originally, he was with the Spotlight magazine. He'd spent 20 years or more in key positions in the media, and he'd never heard of the Bilderbergers because most Americans were never allowed to hear about the Bilderbergers because the Bilderbergers agents controlled most of the media in America, and the last thing they wanted for the average American to understand is that the electoral process is a fraud, that they could, a small group of very wealthy men, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Mr. Kissinger, and of course some of the people, well, certainly Catherine Crayon, who ran the Washington Post, and the people who ran the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, conservative, liberal, it's all a game. It's all there to deceive people that they were concealing the fact that these people have great wealth, we're meeting on a regular basis, really planning our future. And so Mr. Tucker then was given the job as he went to work for the Spotlight, a newspaper, of tracking down the Bilderbergers. And how long ago did you start tracking down the Bilderberger meetings?
Well, immediately in 1975, when the Spotlight was established, at that time we were using stringers, they're called, guys who write for us from Europe. If they're meeting in Europe, we had one of our guys from Europe cover for economic reasons. If they met in North America, we had reporters in Canada, United States to cover. I was not quite satisfied with that, so I started covering myself in the 1980s. I remember my first trip to Europe was to Innsbruck, Austria. I'm a little bit confused over the dates.
Well, don't worry about it. But anyway, you started there back in about 1980, going to the meetings, and you've been going just about ever since then, haven't you? Tracking down the Bilderbergers.
Yes, it's a great adventure. I love it.
But of course, how were you able to find out what was really going on inside? Certainly, they made sure there were no microphones, no way that people could know what was going on, because they wanted to keep their deliberations secret, and the people who attended the meetings weren't supposed to tell. But were you actually able to get some people from within who would reveal some of the what actually went on there?
Yes, a few times I've been within too, but I was calling through tall drain pipes, hopping small walls. More recent years, in the early years, I learned something more that goes back to the 80s and early 80s in Canada.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mr. Tucker was telling how he's been going to these meetings fairly regularly since the 1980s, and of course, you'd learned something back in the 1980s when there was a meeting in Canada. And what did you learn at that time, Mr. Tucker?
Well, it was the way I learned it. It's very helpful. It's about 40 miles from Montreal. I have to fly there and rent a car. And across from the a big island across the road from a big place, was a high island, a big, of course, posh resort. They're sealed off. So I went to the a little restaurant across the road, and the being very low key about this. Well, first thing I do is try to check into the hotel, just for the record, so that I'm denied. And in comes, as I suspected, the staff, the busboys, waiters, waitresses, and we start talking and nattering. And I invite all of them to have a beer as my guest. And they do, because they're not making much money. At that time, Canada had such a difficult problem with low employment. They split jobs, so everybody had a part-time job, so that fewer people had no job at all. And the leader came in. You could always tell the leader. And he said, in speaking French to the barmaid, "We cannot help you at all. We cannot help you. But I'm asking them to just bring back any little bit of information. Don't take a chance on your job. Just if a piece of paper is thrown in the trash can, put it in your pocket. See my eyes and ears and hear. And no, we can help you." The next day he came back speaking English and said, "They're trying to, I can't use that word, bleep my country and bleep yours too. We'll help you all we can." And every day after that, we met at the same time. I still remember, as we went around the table, a beautiful young girl saying, "Well, actually, really don't have anything to contribute. My stuff is silly." I said, "Tell me what's silly." And she explained that Kissinger was happy with his scotch soda. But Kissinger's, David Rockefeller's valet, Rockefeller's not happy with his red wine, his wrong kind of wine. So airplanes fly back to New York to get the right kind of wine, fly back to the airport in Montreal, and desperately drive back to whatever they call that resort to bring David Rockefeller the right kind of wine. Could you imagine that somebody being that frivolous?
Well, of course, these people are not concerned about money because they can, they're fabulously wealthy. They control the banking, the oil, they control many of our major corporations, the Rockefeller Foundation, and as a result, they really control most of what goes on in our society. Well, anyway, then you've been able to find people ordinarily at the meetings who are willing to help you. And, of course, they close the hotel. Nobody can be a guest there other than the members of the Bilderbergers, but they do have some of the staff there who are told not to talk to outsiders, but you've usually been able to get somebody to give you a hand?
Yes, and understand that the place is sealed off with armed guards. In Europe, quite often the military is dispersed, as well as their own armed guards and their own private security guards in plain clothes, but wearing the same red jackets or whatever they'll do each year.
In other words, they have their private military and their private guards there. They have the police. They have the military.
Yes.
They do not want anybody to know what's really going on there. And you've certainly tried to get in many times and always are turned away, aren't you?
Well, I've been inside for a while before they caught me and would throw me back out. But that was early years before they... Well, security gets tougher every year. In the early years, they're not used to characters like me going through drain pipes or over fences after dark. And I'll be dressed in my Bilderberg suit, a black suit, white shirt, red necktie. I'll be in uniform and infiltrate that way. But in recent years, because of the Internet, other sources step forward, higher sources. Now, once we found out where they are, and we haven't found out yet, that keeps me nervous as a trumpet in church until we do. But when we do, they'll put it on our website so the boys in Europe, and they get a lot of coverage in Europe. It's only in North America where we have such a complete blackout. So, in the last 3 or 4 years, we've had people come forward who are in the upper ranks of the hotel staff. Because they see on the Internet, and not the guys, not the busboys, not the receptionists, but the higher-level employee, some kind of young executive. Now, he's known for a year that this place is all sealed off for these days between Wednesday at noon and the following Monday at about noon. All sealed off. He has to know about the security. They have to be informed on this. So now he's wondering, what in the world? We've never had this before in our life. And they sealed the internet. There's a group called Bilderberg, or maybe they've been told that, but more about it. And I'd get calls at my hotel, calls they know it's on the internet. Meet me at this location at this time. Pretend you don't hear me. Pretend we don't know each other. And I'll help you all I can.
And, of course, these people are risking their jobs by doing it. But it's in Europe, of course, why this is the media over there is not as tightly controlled as America. People think we have freedom of the press in the United States. The freedom of the press means if you own the medium, if you own the press, you have the freedom to suppress whatever information you want to. And they've been suppressing information about the Bilderbergers since the organization was first founded in 1954. And actually only within the last, I think, year or two has there been any mention of the Bilderbergers in the major media. Would that be a fair estimate?
In North America, yes. The governor of Texas attended, I think it was Texas, and somehow it leaked into the newspaper. The governor of Virginia attended, and it was some staffer. I mentioned where he was, paid his own way, and all that jazz. So there's been a little bit of leakage. But in Europe, there's heavy coverage. The major daily newspapers, and then also in Canada, to be fair to Canada, be heavy in the newspapers, heavy on television. The well, as soon as I get there, the in this age of the internet, they know where I am, and we meet, we collaborate, we pool our information. Channel 4 England did a 1 hour special on Bilderberg. A&E or something like that did a little bit, and the History Channel did a little bit, and some of you radio syndicates have done some in this country, but in Europe it's heavy on national television. It's all because readers were smarter than I was. It goes back about Helsinki, about 1990, and at that time we found out so early. We could have an advanced story over there, meaning we're positive. We were waiting for newspapers. I think we found out about November, plenty of time. Our readers in Europe, of course, it costs a lot to subscribe there. The postage alone doubles, at least doubles the rate. So they have a tendency to buy the newspaper and share it with 20 others.
Okay.
So we go a letter. This is all exchange of mail. And one reader said, should we alert the local TV people and radio people and newspapers about the Bilderberg meeting? And the answer was yes. But I did not think about that years before that. But nevertheless, they were shocked when they got off the airplanes in Helsinki to take their helicopters or to the more affected, like the Kissinger's, the caravan with police escorts to the scene of the crime about 20 or 40 miles out of town. And they're so shocked to see all these television cameras glaring at them, all the newspaper reporters with pad in hand yelling at them. They were stunned. It was a lot of fun.
And of course, Alex Jones was there a couple of years ago at the Bilderberger meetings, and he was there really with his blowhorn trying to get people's attention about the Bilderberger meeting. I guess they weren't very happy about that, were they?
Not at all. In fact, yeah, Alex was with me in Canada about 4 years ago, and actually they tried to stop him at the airport, him and his camera crew.
In other words, they tried to stop him and keep him from coming into Canada.
Yes, and that created publicity in Canada. more publicity they would have had if they said nothing, let it come through. I got a call from Alex. Well, we knew each other's schedule. He knew my hotel. He told me he was being held at the airport with his camera crew. And I was also scheduled to be driven to the Bilderberg Cedar Tribe by a beautiful young girl broadcaster. You know, Maxwell, always under your chin. That's okay. And I mentioned her as we're going out there, what Alex Jones said. And she got on her cell phone thing and called her radio station. And they call up the newspapers, and there's a whole lot of newspapers about Bilderberg and trying to stop this Alex Jones and his TV crew from coming in. They were embarrassed and turned him loose.
Well, I think
the stupid fools would have had much less publicity if they'd not stopped him at all.
Well, I think the thing is that they fear the public is going to learn that a small group of people are already determining the future of our nation, and indeed the future of Europe, both Europe and the United States.
And the world.
Well, anyway, of course, apparently Alex had quite an impact. He's put together a very, very good DVD, which we do carry, called The End Game. We think it's well worthwhile, and it's amazing how many people are really interested in getting Alex's DVD, which is available, once again, called The End Game, and it does actually have an interview there with Mr. James Tucker, who's our guest today. Well, certainly, what sort of things do the Bilderbergers discuss when these people of fabulous wealth get together?
For me, things. In fact, it was when Alex Jones was in Canada with me about 4 or 5 years ago, we did an advanced story, a consumer story, about how the mortgage market is going to go crazy.
Were they aware even then, of course, that the mortgage rate?
Yes, and they were laughing. Well, in fairness, some of them said that was very cruel. They're laughing about how young people be induced to buy a house, and you can buy a bigger house now. Your mortgage payment is very low for a year or 6 months or a year. You don't even have to pay on equity. Some of the laughing was about the fact they're stupid, which is true. I mean, good Lord, who would buy a house 10 times their income when their payments would be 10 times their income because they don't have to pay any equity?
Well, of course, but this was going to lead to a disaster, and they were well aware then, of course, were they concerned that the financial disaster which has hit us now was going to come about, or were they actually encouraging this sort of thing?
They were encouraging, a lot of them were laughing about it. I did hear some of them say, that's kind of cruel and mean-spirited. Well, that's stating the obvious. Normally, when a young couple buys a house, the banker wants you to be able to make your mortgage. They'll say, okay, your income will permit you, you can buy a house in this price range, in this income. And, of course, the rates were fixed. There's no nonsense like that. And the bankers wanted you to succeed. They wanted you to pay off your mortgage on time. But now this business of, we're so greedy, we're going to trick you in to buying a house 10 times what you should pay, because for the first 6 months or a year, your payments are so low. You're not paying on equity. There's no settlement cost. We'll pay that, or we'll add it to your total bill. You can buy a bigger house than that. Okay. It's very stupid of those people to buy those houses, but why should we be so cruel to people for being stupid? If we were cruel to everybody who is stupid, it would be cruel to half the people on this earth.
Well, of course, the difficulty is that the people buying these alternative rate mortgages, people buying these creative mortgages with nothing down, or certainly payment only on the interest, or maybe just on the equity and no money on the interest, all of this was designed to create the current financial crisis that we're seeing today that threatens the stability of the entire world monetary system. And I'm amazed that they knew about this some years ago and that nothing was done, because this suggests that the crisis that is going to affect so many people's lives was planned, or at least these people were well aware of it and did nothing to stop it, which is unconscionable.
It is.
All right, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Mr. James Tucker, who actually found out about the Bilderbergers simply by because he came in contact with a man who was publishing Spotlight magazine. In 20 years, Mr. Tucker had never heard of the Bilderbergers, and of course that was back in 75. Today he's one of the leading experts on this secret group, and it is a secret group, and of course they've done everything they could to discourage information from getting out. There's a Mr. Daniel Estulin, who's written a book on this. He lives over in Spain. They've been able to put out 1.5 million copies at least of his book over there. And yet here in the United States, they were lucky to get it published at all with a very limited publication. Have you written a book at all, Mr. Buck Tucker? Well, we seem to be having lots of problems. Hopefully our producer will be able to get Mr. Tucker on the line. Last week when he was supposed to be with us, Mr. Tucker lives in, I believe, in Virginia, but he ordinarily works in New York City and actually stays in a hotel for 3 or 4 days at a time and then goes home. And last week when he was supposed to be with us, he was taking a taxi ride and was going across one of the rivers there in New York, and suddenly the taxi, somebody tried to cut the taxi off. The taxi driver put on his brakes, and then they couldn't get the taxi started again. And the taxi driver was frantic. He'd never had that happen to him. The taxi wouldn't start, so we called the taxi company and said, "I've got a fare here, and he wants to get to his hotel across the Potomac, across the river." And they said, "Oh, we can't send a taxi to you. You'll have to get one from Virginia, because you're on the bridge." And it took 1.5 hours, and Mr. Tucker was not able to get through to to us, as he had to sit in his taxi for 1.5 hours. And as Mr. Tucker said, "You know, I've been riding taxis in New York for 30 years. That's the first time that has ever happened." And you have to wonder, would it be that there are people who don't want Mr. Tucker to get his story out? Certainly, we're trying to call him back again. We have his proper telephone number, but we seem to be having a little difficulty. So if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question you'd like to ask me, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. So hopefully we're trying to reach Mr. Tucker again. And because we'd like, of course, to have him tell you this story about the Bilderbergers, this group of powerful people who can mobilize the United States Army or the Canadian Army or the European Army, and all we get is an answering machine as we try to reach Mr. Tucker. Amazing the fact that he was there waiting for our program, and now we can't get through. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question about the Bilderberger Group, I mean, this is a group of the most wealthy and ruthless people in the world. You'll find David Rockefeller associated with this organization. Of course, David Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission. Their logo was three sixes intertwined, and of course they've changed the logo. Now it's three sixes intertwined in a circle, joined together in the middle by an upside down broken cross. I think anybody who of course has ever studied prophecy knows that the number 666 does have spiritual significance. Mr. Bilderberg, David Rockefeller, the honorary permanent chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, Mr. Tucker, we seem to be having difficulty, but we're glad to have you back on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. We got cut off, and I called your Letitia back.
All right, fine. Well, I'm glad we got you here. And anyway, you were telling us about the Bilderbergers. What sort of things should they talk about at these meetings? What is so secret they don't want us to know about?
Well, over the years, we have something of a track record. One of the most dramatic was our advanced story of the downfall of Lady Thatcher. She attended one Bilderberg meeting, had nothing to say. She didn't like them while she was Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And we learned that they were angry with her, not only because of her hostility at Bilderberg, but because she refused to give up the pound for the euro. Obviously, your currency is some of your nationality, the pound, our dollar, their pound, and she refused.
In other words, she didn't want to go with the euro, was that it?
She absolutely refused to. In fact, Britain still has the pound.
In other words, she didn't want to give up the sovereignty of her country, and you give up your money, why you lose your sovereignty, and she would not do that. Is that right?
That's right. That's why they had a trapeze artist named John Major from her own party challenge her and defeat her. Or Conservative Party, in the election, the Conservative Party, with their parliamentary system, then John Major was elected to replace Lady Thatcher. I had the privilege of talking to her briefly. It was not an interview, just one of those cocktail parties in Washington where you had a brief conversation, and I asked her for her reaction. And this is not a direct quote. I did it to make notes in the newspaper. A very close paraphrase would be, I said, Lady Thatcher, what is your reaction to being denounced by Bilderberg? And that's after she's out of office. And she said, she used the word tribute. She said, I consider it a tribute to be denounced by Bilderberg. I would never surrender one bit of sovereignty to an international organization. And
well, good for Lady Thatcher, and of course, but apparently you then knew that they were going to have her replaced, and these
well,
people.
I've done an advanced story on that, and that's after she's been replaced.
I see. Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment here with Mr. James Tucker on the Bilderbergers. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Tucker. Before we go on, do you have a website or any information you'd like to get out on what you do? Have you written a book on the Bilderbergers at all?
Yes, it's called The Bilderberg Diary, and it's available from American Free Press. Just call 202-544-5977, and you can subscribe, you can buy the Bilderberg Diary, and have a lot of fun.
And 202-544, what's the rest of the number?
5977.
5977, that's the Bilderberg Diary. And is that a fairly new book? I hadn't heard of it before.
It has been out for about 2 years now, so we get up to about 2005, I think, is the last meeting that's kind of far in the book. It's been out for about 2 years, Bilderberg Diary. And, of course, they have the website, all lowercase, of course, American Free Press. So you can do it more quickly that way, AmericanFreePress.net.
AmericanFreePress.net. Okay, fine. That's the Bilderberger Diary, 202-555-544-5977. But it sounds the sort of book that we'll certainly want to carry because we think that it's such an important subject. And here's a group of people who are really sort of the kingmakers, and they were able to, announce among themselves that Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain and very, very popular, was going to be replaced. And of course, they then encouraged John Major to run against her. And she was replaced because she did not want to go along with the destruction of the sovereignty of Great Britain and pulling Great Britain into the European Union, which is the ultimate plan to do away with national sovereignty, whether it be Great Britain or whether it be the United States. But it is all part of a plan for this world government that these people want. So, well, basically, what other sort of things are the Bilderbergers up to? What do they do?
I should mention that the book is richly illustrated. It shows a photograph of myself and Lady Thatcher. But my favorite photograph is me and Dr. Kissinger. He's an affected jackass. Now, David Rockefeller's also has a PhD in economics, but he's always been Mr. Rockefeller. But Kissinger's always been Dr. Kissinger.
I see.
But he's an affected type. His German accent is an affectation. I took him by surprise, and this is one of the photographs in the book. I saw up to him months after the meeting. He said, Dr. Kissinger, the last Bilderberg meeting, guy said this to you, and your response was this. Would you elaborate on that? And he looked at me in shock. He said, that was a private meeting. And he checked himself. There's a couple of other reporters hanging around me. That was a private meeting. Could you catch him off guard? He's been in this country since he was 14 years old. He served in the U.S. Army as a corporal in World War II.
And
accent is a total fabrication.
In other words, basically, if you catch him off guard, well, the accent disappears.
Yes, he's a phony.
I see. Well, of course, we've always known he's a phony, but he's a very, very powerful and a very dangerous man. He's done a great deal of harm to the United States because his loyalty is not here. He's not an American. He may be a naturalized citizen, but he seems to serve a different master.
All of these Bilderberg kids think themselves as citizens of the world, and their great goal is to have a world government. The United Nations is to be expanded. That's why we have a NAFTA. That's why there's a European Union. Their great goal, as they've stated many times, or reported many times, is to create an American Union. Years ago, they're going to dollarize America and get rid of the make the dollar the common currency of North America. Now they want to call it the Amerio or something like that.
Amerio, we've heard quite a bit about that. They want to do away with the American dollar. I really believe that's one reason why they're going to destroy it. And with that are the wealth and savings of so many of our listeners out there who have not made preparations to defend themselves as we move away from American-dominated economic system towards this one-world economic system that they really want. And with that, of course, that means the destruction of the dollar and the value of many of the other currencies. You've got to impoverish the people before they're going to be willing to accept this one-world government.
I think the housing crisis is part of it.
You think the what now?
The housing crisis.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, Mr. Tucker. Now, what about their attitude towards the Iraqi war? Do you have any ideas? And certainly, did they play any part in the decision that we apparently are not going to invade Iran for a time?
Well, this is interesting. First time there's a split, to my knowledge, among the European and American Bilderberg. It goes back, 2002, I guess it was, or 2001, when they met in Chantilly. Well, it'd be 2001 because right after 9/11/01, the terrorist attacks, they were simply scared. And it was North America's time to have the Bilderberg meeting, which is about every fourth year. So they met in Chantilly, which is a short drive from Dulles Airport, outside of Washington in Loudoun County, I think. So they're meeting there, and while all the European Bilderberg wanted us to invade Yugoslavia and supported the Vietnam War then Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld comes out to the meeting, and he promises the Bilderberg boys there will be no invasion of Iraq this year. Now, of course, little Danny Graham, the publisher of Washington Post, or he's chairman now or something, and Jim, whatchamacallit, was there, as they always are. And they heard the Secretary of Defense say that. Yet, they let their own newspaper, as all newspapers did, predict that the war would start this summer or late fall at the latest. And it did not start until March of the next year. It shows the how closely they embrace their promises to reveal nothing. And all the New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post every year, all the network, major network anchors who attend these meetings, on their solemn promise to reveal nothing at all for the rest of their lives about these meetings.
In other words, basically, they're not going to let the American people know the truth about this secret group that really determines the course of our foreign and domestic policy.
Now, I cannot understand why little Donald Graham or Jim, what's his name, would not go to the news staff and say, look, stop reporting the war's going to start this summer or late fall at the latest. It will not start till next year. Don't ask me how I know, just trust me. That'd be enough, but they would not even do that. They'd let their own newspaper be wrong, knowing their newspaper be wrong about the invasion starting in 2003.
All right, fine. Well, now, so what about the invasion of Kosovo? Do you think that the Europeans want this invasion of Kosovo?
They supported that because they wanted, as they did in Gulf One, to Americans get out what they call the Vietnam Syndrome, where we don't want to go to war anymore after the blistering in Vietnam. But part of it was called was because of Bill Clinton. Now, when people say I hate Bill Clinton, they're wrong. I have sneering contempt for Bill Clinton, but I don't hate him. He was, of course, recruited to Bilderberg in 1991 as the obscure governor of Arkansas. In 1992, he was elected president of the United States. They told him what NAFTA was, explained to him why he's for it, and of course he ran it through.
Well, do you think that they played a part in getting Bill Clinton elected the president?
Well, I'll put it this way. He's obscure governor of Arkansas. He attends Bilderberg in Baden-Baden, Germany for the first time in his life in 1991. In 1992, he's elected president, and he thought putting NAFTA at the top of his list of priorities.
Well, it seems to be more than just a coincidence that that it would happen that way. So I agree with you that probably they certainly got the media that their members control, to puff Bill Clinton. And, of course, to play down all of his marital infidelities and his association with drugs and corruption and murder, and simply make him look like a real good guy, and he got elected.
Yes, but the most bloody-handed draft dodger, Bill Clinton, to ever disgrace the White House with his presence, went to Kosovo to get, what's her name, Lewinsky off of page one. Because if we go to war, that takes her and her stained blue dress off of page one and puts it inside because we've invaded Yugoslavia.
Right. Well, of course, the thing is that my concern is that there is may very well be a move towards getting NATO and American forces to actually move into Kosovo so they can be independent. And if they do, certainly the Serbians or the Russians, I don't think, will stand by and do nothing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm very concerned about it. And the idea that we have to have missiles in what had been the Soviet client states. There's no way we're that the idea of putting missiles in the Ukraine and now our friendly countries, why do we want to agitate Putin in that way? But it's so militarily unnecessary.
Well, of course, you're talking now about this effort to put anti-ballistic missiles into both Poland and Czechoslovakia, which we're claiming we're going to do that because we want to protect Europe from Iran. And I mean, anybody with half an ounce of intelligence knows that this is meant as a threat to Russia and to Putin. And I agree with you. Why are we so intent upon, getting antagonism between Russia and the United States again? Of course, I really believe that they are planning one day for some sort of a conflict, a confrontation with Russia again. But we have to have some means of manipulating that. And I fear we're being manipulated into another world war down the line. When it's coming, I don't know. But the United States is doing everything they can to antagonize Putin. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and also, the so-called Star Wars thing began under President Reagan, which made sense during those Cold War years to some extent. But even then, Bilderberg jumped on it immediately. Big contracts, Bilderberg Company in London got $40 million contract right away to develop the missile defense that Reagan had proposed. So what interested me was Reagan proposed this about March of 1983, something like that. So very immediately afterwards, the Bilderberg meeting in May or June, they're all for it. The other scientists, other people say, would this work? Is it practical? It turned out to have some good effects. But the fact that you can decide so immediately because there's immense profits to be made.
And you think that then the reason the Bilderbergers favored it was because they were going to make a lot of money, a lot of our taxpayers' money?
Oh yes. The wars are very profitable. They always have been.
All right, fine. That's
a civil war, there's heavy hearings, and in World War II, all the wars about profiteering at the expense of patriotism by international bankers, big international corporations.
And I'm sure they're willing to fight to the last American boy, but of course they're not willing to put their own sons out there.
Back to the old cliche, the rich men war and the poor boys fight.
I'm into that. Well, now, are there any other things that we should know about the Bilderbergers and their plans at the present time? What is their attitude, for instance, towards President Bush and a war with Iran? Have you heard anything at all about the possibility of a war with Iran or putting that off more or less indefinitely?
I'm not sure. Of course, the latest report saying that Iran's not done what they call the intelligence review people say Iran gave up on nuclear missiles in 2005. But the same group was saying in 2005, Iran is making missiles. I don't know if they're making missiles or not. And certainly a lot of neocons want to go to war. We don't have enough wars. Lord, don't we have enough wars? We're now saying that you can go cross out of combat at age 42 in World War II. Total mobilization is the age was 38. Now they're saying you can be a felon and volunteer. We'll give you $20,000 to volunteer, which brings in a lot of poor boys winning $20,000. Well, for this poor boy, $20,000 is a good fee. But we're stretched so thin, 114, more than that, around the country, and our own borders undefended.
And I think it's really a rather tragic state. It seems that these people, at least the people who are running our country, want an empire. They want our troops stationed in countries all throughout the world. The United States is spending more money on its military than all the rest of the world put together. I mean, I don't think the average American has any idea what's really going on. They think that we're over there fighting for freedom or democracy or something in Iraq. And I mean, certainly that can't be true, because why do we have our troops stationed in Germany and in Japan and in Korea? and in 130 nations. We have troops stationed all over the world. It almost looks like America is trying to build a great empire. Do you get that feeling?
An imperialistic empire. Yes, Pat Buchanan has a lot to say about that, which I agree with. The Cold War is over. Putin does not want to mute the United States. In fact, all the way back to the Kennedy missile crisis of 1962, we know now, we did not know then, that we had them outgunned 20-1 during the Cuban missile crisis. If the Soviet Union had, on that horrible October day, launched missiles in the United States, Khrushchev knew that once those missiles were in the air, it took them 15 minutes, 18 minutes to hit the United States, that we would have already responded with our missiles in the air. If we took a hit, 40 to 60 million Americans out of the population then, about 250 million Americans, would probably be killed, and that's horrible. But we hit them again. We still have a third strike, and Moscow would be thrown into the Stone Age. And Khrushchev knew that. Kennedy knew that.
Hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Arthur Stan here at the Radio Liberty, and certainly Mr. Tucker is pointing out what we have also said, and that is that most of what the American people have been told about our relationships with the Soviet Union has just not been true. And he's pointing out that at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, they had no intention of course, firing missiles at America. We had them outgunned. We had certainly could have destroyed Russia readily, and although they could have killed a fair number of Americans, we would have destroyed Russia and put them back to the Stone Age. So the idea that we were going to go to war at that time was simply all propaganda. Would that be a fair statement, Mr. Tucker?
What was all propaganda?
That the Cuban Missile Crisis and the danger to the average American.
Probably exaggerated. If not propaganda, definitely exaggerated.
It was exaggerated then, all right, fine. Well, we've got about 2.5 minutes for you to wrap up. Your thoughts on the Bilderbergers, what's the message that you'd like to leave with our listeners today about the danger of this super secret organization of men of great wealth?
Well, it's important that we use the weapon of truth and expose them in this country, because Bilderberg is dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States and all nations in favor of a world government. They're behind on schedule. They expected by 2000, almost 8 years ago, in one more week, they expected that we'd have a North American Union by now. That's a great step. We did not. We're fighting back. As long as Americans keep fighting back, we can keep our sovereignty, but we have to fight these evil. We have to fight what I now call the evil empire. President Bush had a different definition.
All right, fine. Well, I certainly appreciate so very much your willingness to be with us here. Our guest has been Mr. James Tucker, who is one of the senior reporters at
the America Free Press,
and of course the telephone number. We want to give that telephone number out one more time?
Yes, bear with me while I reach down here, because I don't call myself up very much.
All right.
The number is 202-544-5977.
And of course, Mr. Tucker attends those Bilderberger meetings, not as an invited guest, but to get the information. He's there every year. And certainly we're going to look forward to getting a copy of his book, the Bilderberger Diary, and getting the information available for our listeners. Well, Mr. Tucker, thank you so very much for being with us, and let's hope you don't have another wild ride on the taxi here.
I hope not.
All right.
Thank you much. I enjoyed it.
Bye-bye, and God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we do carry a fascinating DVD on the Bilderbergers. It's called Endgame. It's put out by Alex Jones. And then, we have a book on the Bilderbergers by Daniel Estulin. I think that later on we'll be getting up Mr. of Mr. Tucker's book on the Bilderbergers, because it's vitally important that you understand that there are people of great wealth and great power, have so much money and influence that they can control the media in the United States. And the tragedy is that 90 to 95% of the major media outlets in the United States are controlled by one of five mega corporations who largely control what the American people hear, what they see on television, and certainly what they read in newspapers or in books or magazines. And that's the way the system is played. Now, overseas, you can go into Canada, you can go into Europe, and you can learn all about the Bilderbergers. People know about the Bilderbergers, but they're not going to know about it here because they control the media and they really don't want you to understand. If I could suggest my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, that's Brotherhood of Darkness, has a section on the Bilderbergers and on many of the other covert organizations that work behind the scenes. But what most people do not understand is that all of these organizations in one way or other are tied into the occult. So if you haven't read my pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, if you have not heard our four tape set on the supernatural, or read Johanna Michelson's excellent book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, or of course read the book by Father Malachi Martin, Hostages to the Devil, and then we have a four tape set with Father Martin on, really doesn't get so much into the supernatural as to what's going on politically, but of course gives you great insight into this, a very remarkable man, and I'm so glad we have these tapes available, because Father Martin of course died under somewhat strange circumstances a few years ago. But the four tape set is called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Then, of course, we suggest, if you really want to begin to understand how this all fits together, you need to get the DVD of my talk on The Forbidden Secret, and, of course, the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the DVD on The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. That's The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, very professionally done, actually won the prize for the best documentary of the year with one of the major film festivals in the United States. And then the second in the series, The Riddles in Stone, The Secret History of America's Beginnings, because at the very beginning of our country, there were a cult secret organizations working here. Their dream was to use the power and wealth of the United States to bring about this one world government, new world religion, and the new world leader. Now, of course, there was a Christian influence here too, and originally at the time of the foundation of this country, the Christian influence was predominant, but unfortunately that has faded as the churches have been infiltrated, our seminaries have been infiltrated. They've changed the music, they've changed the message of so many of our Christian churches, and of course, no longer do we think of ourselves as being sinners saved by a Savior. They don't believe in sin, they don't believe in eternal punishment, they don't believe in hell. They are very, very learned. They're so much smarter than the ministers were a generation ago, and they've changed the entire thrust of Christianity. And as a result, many of our Christians certainly are totally unaware of the supernatural element of what is transpiring today. There really are supernatural forces at work in our society. And this is, of course, if you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com, you can learn about them. We hope you'll go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and listen to our programs and watch our DVDs and pull down our newsletters and tell others about the program. Tell them about the spiritual battle that's going on today for the souls of men, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU Band, frequency 11836.